Hello and welcome to Nightmare Lane. So
Woot
excited about
woot.
this episode. Sorry, go ahead.
Woot woot.
There we go. Yeah, my bad. I always get excited and I talk over you. Sorry about that.
It's all good. I do it too.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about this episode. I've waited all week to hear the rest of the story and it's been on my mind. So.
You've been ruminating on 1999.
Yes, and Y2K. Regardless of what you say, it's what comes to my brain. So,
Stop it. Oh my gosh.
Also, I got myself a soul box.
I don't know what that is, but does it have a lot of soul in it?
No, it's not like a ooh, spooky soul. It's soul as in Korea,
Ah.
like a lifestyle box for Korea. And I don't know if I regret it or I'm excited about it, but they have a matcha milk jelly.
Oh. So, do you have it? Has it arrived yet?
Yeah, it arrived at my house yesterday. So I
Oh.
opened it and I haven't tried anything in it, but it has like a little pastry in there and some charcoal toothpaste, but it's
Dude.
special charcoal toothpaste because it doesn't stain your teeth the black. It comes out pink.
Weird.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but I definitely looked at it. And
Okay.
then,
No regrets though, because it's all about fun and like rewarding yourself, and it's weird and exploratory, so don't regret it at all.
no, the part I regret is I didn't read the fine print correctly because I thought it was going to come with a drink and a snack, and it just came with a jelly and a snack, and I wanted a drink.
Dang.
Yeah, so I thought it was going to come with like more edible stuff in it. So that was my fault for lack of research because I really like Asian snacks, and so that was kind of what I was hoping for.
I know they have a couple boxes like that where it's like all Asian snacks. Every time I see one, I think of you.
Yeah, I really thought that that's what this was, but I guess it's a lifestyle box, as in just lifestyle. So I have like a BTS nightlight and a black pink bracelet, and there's a mouse pad.
Cool.
Yeah, so I don't use.
I feel like mouse pads are so retro. That's so funny. But they're
I
also
know.
like really handy and practical because like the other day I had to grab a book off my shelf because my mouse wasn't functioning on my desktop.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you wanted it because I don't have mice, so.
Is it pretty? I totally want it. I don't care if
It
it's pretty, but
No, it's representing a Korean drama that I actually watch.
oh,
It's really
really?
pretty. So it's like Korea in fall, so it has fall colors.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'll totally take it.
Cool. So now you get a little bit of soul.
Nice. Okay, and just to be clear, we're not sponsored by this box people at all. We're really
No.
just talking about our lives. So if it feels infomercially, it's because we're boring, not because we're getting paid to talk about this.
Exactly. No, I reached my workout goal this month, and so I got to
Go
reward myself with
you.
something. So this
Nice.
is what, yeah, I just invested in it, and it was a nice try, but I don't think I'm going to subscribe to it. I'll find something that actually brings me food, which is all I really want.
As a reward for exercising.
I didn't say it had to be junk food.
I'm just like I was just pointing out the irony, but you do you, boo. Good life choices.
Why do you think I exercise? So I can eat what I want.
You
That's
know,
why.
that's the way to live your life. Absolutely. I love it. All right. Let's enough about our personal lives. Let's jump into 1999 where we left off.
Yes, dive right into it.
Splish splash. Okay. Update, November 14th, 2009. People have been emailing me asking what exactly happened in 1999. I'll get to that. Those weird TV shows I was watching apparently were meant to attract kids to Mr. Bear's house. What Mr. Bear did shocked the entire town. My dad actually drove me to Caledon, along with the address Mr. Bear left on the letter. The house was actually in the outskirts of the town, in the open farmland. I still remember that house. It looked like an older farmhouse that looked to have been built in the early 1900s. The windows were all boarded up, and the house looked in a state of disrepair. As we walked up to the house, I remember my dad checking the address over and over again and looking at the house in disbelief. Then the door opened. I expected Mr. Bear to be at that door, but I was so surprised to see a police officer emerge from the creaking doorway. The officer began talking to my dad, while I quickly asked if that was Mr. Bear's house. The officer's face cringed slightly, and he muttered, "Oh God," or something like that. He started talking quietly to my dad so I couldn't hear, although my dad told me to go to the car anyway, and then we just went home. My dad was quiet the whole way home. I felt something strange had happened.
If I was that dad, man, can you imagine a parent in that position and like that not only that something bad happened, but that they fell for it and they were delivering their child there?
Yeah, I think I would feel really bad because, like, I hadn't taken the time to observe the TV show. I didn't really know where I was taking my kid. But, like, I'm a really paranoid individual. So, like, I'm just, like, in disbelief that this man wasn't trying to figure out, like, what the heck his kid had been watching for, like, what, 6 months?
Yeah, but we come from paranoid parents. But you have to remember, not everybody did.
Yeah,
I mean, so many kids, our friends growing up, thought our parents were like really restrictive or weird, you know.
Well, but they were also careful, and we made it. We're alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. My dad never told me what happened for a while. Oh my gosh, that sentence. He either never told you or it took him a while to tell you. You can't have both, okay?
Editing that out too, you can't critique creepypasta.
It took my dad a while to tell me what happened. I forgot about it anyway, too. Channel 21 no longer came on, and when I asked about it, my dad would not acknowledge its existence. I think it was when I was like 13 when I learned the truth. I remember Channel 21 one day and asked my dad about it. I guess he finally decided I should hear the truth. Caledon Local 21 was a local TV channel that ran from October 1997 to August of 1999 in the Peel region of Ontario.
Oh my God, that is so long to have been not.
Right?
Stopped.
Two years, basically.
Yeah. Jeez. That's, oh my gosh.
The entire channel was made from a house in Caledon, the one I visited, and run by a man who was not really known by anyone in the town. The channel was only available to older TVs because the signal was one only picked up by rabbit ears. It was a weaker frequency. The man created all the shows on the... Well, so that's why it took so long for them to figure him out.
I guess that makes sense because it's like an older version of the TV. Everybody had the newer stuff, so they didn't have the rabbit ears.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like flying under the radar technically, but still.
Yeah.
That's just so long.
It is. It really is. The man created all the shows on the channel, all of which were kid shows. He was Mr. Bear, and he was the mysterious cameraman. The real reason he created the channel was more disturbing than what was originally thought. As you might have already guessed, he kidnapped kids and held them in his cellar. But while most people thought he was a serial child molester, he really wanted to use the kids for another purpose. The day I arrived, the man had fled his house the night before. The day before the police went in for their investigation. I wasn't the only one who was watching. Update, December 2nd, 2009. Sorry for not answering any questions for so long. I haven't accessed my email account for some time. Anyway, let me finally get things set straight about what I know. Back in October, I visited the house previously owned by the man who ran Caledon Local 21. Two women lived there, operating a daycare business. How ironic. Now, to answer the questions you guys emailed to me. Who else watched Caledon Local 21? Okay. I know other people watched it for sure, including those kids who wound up on Mr. Bear's house. After some Google searches, I found a few people on the Neo Seeker forums who were discussed shows from Caledon Local 21. they talked about the two shows I watched, but also another two shows I'd never seen before. A user named I Am Real Life seemed to know all the shows that were broadcasted on Channel 21. Here are the two I've never heard of. The Fallen Angel and Life. I Am Real Life described it as a fairly boring show about a guy rambling on and on in front of the camera about how we must please Satan and appease him before it is too late. Paint with the Soul, I Am Real Life, and another user called Siggy92 were discussing this show. They described it as Blair Witch-like, as it consisted of the cameraman wandering around a forest at night doing nothing particularly interesting. I'll go looking for the conversation and see if I can get the link. Question, where is Mr. Bear or the guy who wore the costume? Okay, if I did know, I would have said earlier. I have no idea where this guy is, or if he's dead or alive. Hopefully he's dead. When I see my dad's friend next time, I'll ask him about this. Maybe I can get a more definitive answer. Question, what did Mr. Bear do with the children? Meh. This is by far the most common question I've been asked. I found this out in October as well. Via my dad's friend, who is a retired Caledon regional officer, apparently the man playing Mr. Bear took the kids out of the house and into the forest nearby. What he did there, police are not exactly sure how it happened, but 16 charred bodies of children between the ages of 4 and 13 were found in a 15 by 15 foot ditch deep within the forest.
Oh my gosh, fire camping.
Yep. My dad's friend did not want to go into exact details, but I'm seeing him next Thursday anyway, so maybe I can extort some more information from him then. That's all I have for now. Thanks for keeping an interest in my blog. I will try to gather as much information as I can for my next post. I've actually been getting pretty interested in this myself. It should be my right to know what the hell happened.
Yeah, I don't know. This is terrifying.
I was gonna say, I bet it's really challenging for the adults that lived through it. And so, I mean, like, I get that he feels like he should be able to know because he was, like, one that survived. But at the same time, like, how does he think it's making the police officers feel?
Yeah, the people that had to deal with the reality of it.
Yeah. So I didn't like that little bit of entitlement, but anyway.
Yeah, the entitlement's bothersome. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
Bear's Blue House or the Big Blue House, whatever that thing is. Oh, yeah,
Big Blue House.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. Wasn't that a Canadian TV show too?
I don't know. I know it was on Disney Channel, but I don't know if it was Canadian or not. Update, January 14th, 2010. Hey, I'm sorry I haven't posted anything for a while. I kind of lost interest in this blog since I hit a standstill while looking for more information about the identity of the owner of Caledon Local 21. However, a few weeks ago, I struck gold. I found some answers, surprisingly, from the father of a kid I used to babysit. He lives just across from my street, and I used to look after his kids when they were younger. He currently doesn't have a job either. He used to live near the woods outside of Caledon and witnessed the owner's activities in the woods. His name is Anthony Polo. When he lived in the small bungalow outside the woods, he would often venture in to smoke a joint of marijuana or two before returning to his work as a wood craftsman. Polo described that sometimes he would hear voices of children coming from deeper within the woods, as well as a glowing light off in the distance. Polo told me these events started in late 1997. This is around the time Caledon Local 21 began airing. He apparently became annoyed by this happening every once in a while and actually went to investigate. Polo then described what the whole scene looked like when he got there. There was a group of kids, he said about 13 to 17, and ages 5 to 12, gathered around a large fire pit with a burning fire. With them was a single adult. Polo talked to the man, noting his unusual unkempt appearance of a crack addict as well as his constant twitching, and asked what he was doing out in the forest with these kids. The man said that they were on a camping trip, something they did frequently. Polo, not suspecting anything, Caledon has one of the lowest crime rates in Canada, simply left it at that and told them to be quieter. Polo then paused for a while before telling me that they never became quieter. In fact, sometimes he heard loud chanting from the children in an unknown language. He didn't bother meeting with the man again as he was moving away. I told Polo that the man was probably the owner of Caledon Local 21, but he doubted it as he heard that the man was moving to Pickering by several other residents near the area. Here's what I now know. The man would take the kids into the woods regularly for camping. The fire pit Polo described may be the hole the bodies of the children were found in. The children Polo saw are probably the ones that were found dead. The man moved to a city called Pickering, a small city east of Toronto. I will discuss this with my dad's friend, the ex-cop, and see if this matches anything the police knew about the man. I also want to see if he has any other knowledge of what was aired on Caledon Local 21. Update, February 10th of 2010.
So do you think they're all ghosts then? And it didn't actually last for 2 years?
No, I think it lasted for 2 years. I think he kept the kids kind of imprisoned, or the kids were constantly kind of being cycled out.
I see.
Yeah. And I think they were doing like satanic worship stuff.
Oh, yeah, because he did say that you have to worship Satan before it's too late.
Yeah, basically.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
Update, February 10th, 2010. Good news, guys. I talked to my dad's friend, and he disclosed a lot of information for me. First, I asked if the police had any information on the man who ran Caledon Local 21. He replied that they have only had the same leads for years and had never found a suspect. However, the Peel Regional Police do have some of the tapes found in the house Caledon Local 21 was broadcasted from. He took me over so I could watch a few. I guess I haven't said much about him yet. My dad's friend's name is Mitchell Wilson, a pretty nice guy. He seems to understand my thirst for knowledge on what happened during the late 90s in that house. He feels it was wrong that my dad went so long without telling me much. He took me to the Davis Road Police Station. If you don't know, it's the largest station in Caledon and one of the largest within the Peel region itself. Each of the main stations around Peel have some of the tapes. I was able to watch all of the footage that the Davis Road station has. Unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to take any tapes home for obvious reasons. With the Soul, episode 10, Garbage Thrown Away, Paint with the Soul was one of the shows that I Am Real Life and Siggy 92 discussed on No Seeker. I told the police about this and they informed me that 12 episodes of the show were made and broadcasted between December 5th, 97 and January 8th of 98. Exactly as I Am Real Life and Siggy 92 described, the episode opened with the cameraman wandering around in a forest. It appeared to be during the evening as it seemed the sun was setting. The cameraman walked along a path until he got to an area where there was a lot of garbage lying in the leaves. The camera looked around at the various wrappers, bottles, bags, and boxes, making sure each item got a few seconds of screen time. The camera then focused on a single area before the man spoke. I recall he spoke in a very timid, quiet voice, and I swear I've heard it somewhere else before, like on another Caledon Local 21 show. I could barely hear what he was saying, but he mainly talked about how humans are garbage, or something that had to do with saving ourselves by cleaning up the garbage. It actually sounded really stupid, but still, a feeling of dread came over me. I mean, that forest was possibly where those bodies were found, right?
So he is a Clean Earth activist.
Maybe, yeah.
When you were telling me it's like one of the shows that was on his channel and stuff, I'm all like, oh, so he's like a podcaster.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is like he's like
the original serial killer podcaster.
No, like the original Twitch streamer.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. It okay, yeah. So I'm only making light of this because it's a creepypasta and it's not real, just so yes. We're clear.
Agreed.
Okay,
true.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Bear's Cellar, episode 25. When the police administrator brought this tape in, I actually said, oh, shit, and chuckled a bit out loud. Of course, I got stares from the staff, but Wilson explained to them about my little experience with Mr. Bear and how I still kept the letter he sent me. Like the previous episodes, this one included a guy wearing a bear mascot costume. The episode began with Mr. Bear waddling over to a cellar door with a bottle of orange juice in his paws. On the ground were 16 shot glasses, as well as a small bottle that contained an unknown liquid. Mr. Bear poured an equal amount of orange juice into each glass before opening the smaller bottle and depositing one drop into the glasses. Mr. Bear then went off camera. There were some minor sounds such as shuffling, and then Mr. Bear emerged from behind the camera's location. Following him were 16 children. Some looked as young as 4, while others looked like they were practically teenagers. As the children entered, the administrator commented that this is the only episode that showed all 16 victims. The kids all looked rather content, except for this one who had visible bruises on his face, and unlike the other kids, he had a more fearful expression. He also looked about 11 or 12, which caused me to recognize him. He was the kid who had asked about his sister and subsequently met an unknown fate at the end of episode 23, that one episode I watched during July of 1999. When I told the administrator this, he confirmed it was the same kid. He was also featured in episode 24, an episode that only aired once at 3 in July of 1999. The police have still not found the tape. Mr. Bear then broke into song, singing about citrus fruits and how good vitamin C was for you. I could barely hear the lyrics as they were muffled by the bear mask. The kids all drank their juice, the one from episode 23 doing it rather reluctantly, and the episode ended. After viewing the tapes in possession of the Davis Road Police Station, I'm satisfied, but only temporarily. I still want to know the full story. The police just keep giving me the same crap about the creator of Caledon Local 21 being a fetishist, pedophile, as well as an apparent cultist. I will sign off for now, but get into university first and get information later. Hopefully, I'll get back to this blog as soon as possible.
Interesting. Okay, so he's going to take a break and go to school.
Yes.
Still, I guess I'm a little confused because I feel like the police are being overly kind and generous with the information, and he's all frustrated being like, they're not giving me all the information and I don't know what's missing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cold case for them, so maybe it's not that he feels like they're not giving him enough information. Maybe he feels like because it's a cold case, they're like somewhat disinterested, and so they're not getting all the information.
I mean, then that could be truly what is happening. Yeah, I was just getting the impression that he was complaining they weren't sharing all the information they had.
Well, yeah, that's possible. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
Coming around to the end of the episode, guys, thanks for tuning in. So this is the end of episode 2, and it's a 3-parter, so make sure to come back next week for that resolution we always crave. Just a reminder that we have our Patreon launch and our event sticker. If you subscribe to any of our tiers, you will be able to get the limited edition subscriber sticker. We also have Patreon-only episodes, so you're not only going to be able to get us on Spotify or wherever you listen for free, but if you subscribe to our Patreon, you're going to be getting 2 bonus episodes a month that would be available. And we have our very, sorry.
Which is really fun.
It is really fun. It was really fun designing the sticker and getting the art. We had a artist contribute, and we're going to give him credit in our post. So it's going to be great. If you guys are looking for an artist, you should definitely seek him out. He was fantastic. That being said, we have our very first Patreon supporter, so we're going to give a name credit at the end of this episode.
Yes, I have been talking about the special episodes, which were super fun to record, and I think you guys are going to love them. Anyway, thank you, Marie, for supporting us and subscribing to our Patreon. We love you.
Yes, thank you so much for being our first supporter. That just warms our heart and makes us fuzzy inside.
You should get an extra sticker.
Yeah. Nope, that's what the launch event is for.
Oh, well, we'll have just an extra one.
I don't know. I don't make the rules.
Okay. You don't?
No.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, thank you, Marie, for being a part of this. And you guys, you awesome listeners who support us every time you listen to one of our episodes. Thank you so much. Also, know that you guys are amazing, okay? You're confident. You're beautiful. You're not beautiful. You're gorgeous. You're absolutely gorgeous. Spirit, body, soul, everything. Thank you for being here. Go out there, crush your goals, and know that if you're going through something hard, this is just a drop in the bucket, a moment in time. You've got this. You winner.
Take care and stay spooky.
Ooh.